Now, another question you might ask about these shrines, which we're really treating in a way as typical Buddhist objects of worship. Let's ask another question about it. Often is troubling to people who come from a Western culture and see Buddhists worshiping at an image or a shrine of the Buddha somewhere in the Buddhist world. In what sense do these images represent the Buddha? Is the Buddha present in that image? Is he there? Is the image the Buddha himself? Does the image in some way contain the power of the Buddha? For Hindus, the answer to this question would be relatively easy, because as part of Hindu worship, the deity is called in to become present in the image. So that you can say, I think quite appropriately in many Hindu settings, that when you worship an image of a god like Shiva or Krishna or Vishnu, that you are worshiping the Shiva or Krishna or Vishnu that is present in that image. But in a Buddhist case, strictly speaking, the Buddha has achieved nirvana and is no longer available, is no longer present in that image. So the image stands in a somewhat more complex and more sophisticated relationship to the Buddha himself. How does that relationship take place? Well, it's understood historically that when the Buddha died, he left behind in his relics and in the places that he touched and the objects that he used a certain power. It's called in Sanskrit adhisthana. I translate it as sustaining power. And it resides in that object in such a way that can make that object effective for you when you worship it. So to pay homage to something like the Buddha's begging bowl or to footprints that he left behind in the landscape of northern India allows you to plug in some way into the lingering power of the Buddha's presence in that place. The Buddha himself may be gone, but there's a power left that he has left behind that you can get access to by engaging in some act of worship. Now, this was made particularly clear to me in an episode that I once observed in the Dalai Lama's visit to Middlebury College in Vermont. The Dalai Lama was there, of course, like a great Buddhist saint, perhaps in some respects like the Buddha himself, and he was engaging in a worship service in the chapel. They said a lot of prayers and gave some sermons, and then the Dalai Lama got up from his throne and he walked out of the chapel and on down the hill to go and have lunch. There were a group of Tibetan devotees of the Dalai Lama there. It was a small gathering. They probably could easily have gone up to the Dalai Lama and asked him for a blessing or asked him for some teaching. But instead, I was really struck by this. Instead, they waited until he left and went into the chapel and placed flowers on the empty chair where the Dalai Lama had been sitting. It occurred to me that what they were doing at that moment was a lot like the basic vocabulary of Buddhist worship. The Buddha is gone. He's in nirvana. We can't get access to him. We can't invoke his aid, but he's left behind powerful places where we can worship and we can get access in some way to the power that he has left behind. Now, you can ask one more thing, I suppose. How do you get access to it? In what sense are you touching the power of the Buddha in that place? Of course, on one level, it is physical power that's present. But on another important level for Buddhists always, it's a power that grows out of your own response to that object in that place. So it's a connection, you might say a meditative connection that you make with that place that reminds you of the Buddha's presence.